towards the Word of God is what will inspire us to seek diligently, to walk and observe more diligently, and be pleasing to God, because that Word is going to judge us in the last day, nothing else. So, we talked about his prayer in verse 5 of Psalm 119. And he said, "All that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes." That should be on all our hearts. And so, even though he has slipped, even though he was suffering, even though the world was against him, he was still praying to God, "Oh, that my ways..." And he was doing the things that would help do that. You know, we can ask God all the time. We say, "Help me do this." We ask to give Steve a ready recollection of the things he studied. But if he hadn't studied, he wouldn't have that ready recollection. God's not going to zap it in his brain, in my view. And so, you know, we ask God's help, but do we do the things that God has put in place for us to accomplish that, along with his providence, whatever he does? That's his business. But he's given us our business. And so, our attitudes and actions. In Psalm 119, verses 13 and 46, what did you find there in those verses? Well, there's Ms. Noni. We're so glad to see you. I didn't know if you was going to make it or not yesterday when I went by, and I told her to call somebody and have them pick her up. She must be really doing well. Okay. Do you have your lesson, or do you need a copy? Okay. So we're on verse 13 of Psalm 119. And 46. Pat, would you read verses 13 and 46 of Psalm 119?
"With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed."
Okay, so up above there we had studied. He treasured God's word in his heart. He decided with all of his heart to seek after, and he owned it for himself. So, doing all that, he takes it a step further. What's his action and attitude in these two verses? Because of all that,
he's telling others about it.
He's telling others about it. So, he's got reproachers. Remember, we studied in verse 23 that princes were talking against him, and that the old prophets, Daniel, all of those people that were suffering at the hands, they kept telling people about God. They stood up for God's word, and sometimes it brought them death. Sometimes it brought him persecution. Daniel, God chose to bless him in what he was doing at the time, even though of where he was. But he kept on praying, and he kept on telling, "I'm not going to do this because of the Lord I serve." So, what does that tell us? Even when things are doing good, but especially if we need to give an answer for the faith. You know, people question us, or people will talk against what we believe. Are you ready to give an answer? You know, it's important to tell our children and grandchildren why we believe something. Can you do it? And if they're struggling with something, do you step up? It's difficult sometimes. Been there. I know others have too. And so, you know, to tell others is an attitude that grows out of God's word, speaking diligently, having that attitude of heart that may my ways be according to your ways. Okay. Any thoughts on those verses?
Well, I can't help but think of the prophets, you know, in the Old Testament, how they kept telling God's truth, and yet they were not only up against the people who didn't want to hear it, they were against other prophets who were false prophets teaching something different.
Exactly.
And they, their lives were in jeopardy in a lot of times. So.
That's exactly right. That's right. And so, any other thoughts on that? You know, 1 Peter 4, 16 through 19, it says, don't be ashamed, but glorify God and entrust your souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Remember what Paul said in Romans 1, 16? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It's the power of God to save. It cost him persecution. It cost him his life. But that was his attitude. So it all comes back to attitude. Verses 14, 16, 64a, 62, and 162. We turn and we see a great attitude. I think I fail in this one a whole lot. In verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. What does that say to you? And I'm in the wrong chapter. I was in 118, but it says song. It's 119. Sorry about that. I have rejoiced in the way, it goes right along with the song part. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Verse 16. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. See the thread? Verse 54. Sally, you want to read verse 54?
64. Okay. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage.
Okay. My songs. Back in the last chapter, that verse that I read, my song. Okay. Joy. Thanksgiving. For comfort. In the house of my pilgrimage. Verse 48 says, right up above that, I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes, because 52 says, I have remembered your ordinances from of old and comfort myself. He rejoices in them. They're his delight. They're his songs. They make his heart sing for joy. Why do you think his heart would sing for joy in the condition that his life was in at the moment, reading God's word?
Because he still knows he can go to God, and God will give him the comfort and encouragement to keep.
Yeah. Sometimes when things are really bad, the only comfort you can get is from God's word. Whether it be hope or whether it just knowing that God sees, God cares, God loves you. You may not be able to do anything for the moment about it, but of course he can. You just have to trust that. Sometimes he says no. But just trust that God is who he is, and that he sees, and that he cares, and he loves and He knows when we're seeking to trust in Him and love Him. Any thoughts on that? In verse 62, He gives thanks for God's righteous ordinances. God's Word teaches us what is right. You want to know the right thing to do? God's Word will tell you. In the world we live in, there is so much wrong going on. There's so much hate. There's so much misery. Because they don't have God in their lives. They mock His ordinances. They mock God's people. And so, we should give thanks that we have the Word of God in our hands. A lot of people in the world don't, or they don't understand it. They're ignorant of it. Verse 162. Bobby, would you read verse 162?
Rejoice in your promise like one who finds great spoil.
Okay. What's he rejoicing about? How does he feel about God's Word? That's what I should ask. How does he feel about it?
He rejoices. He has confidence and faith in it.
What value does he put on it? Am I reading the wrong verse?
Yeah, it's like, it's, when you think of a battle, you know, the victorious side is happy about the spoils that are left that they can take home.
Finds great spoil. Remember Abraham and Melchizedek and the kings and stuff like that? Abraham didn't take it, but, you know, it was great spoils. Remember the Israelites when they were going to battle, like Elizabeth said? Great spoil. Treasure. We've already studied where he treasured God, the Word in his heart. It's great spoil. It's more than everything else. He had a great price. Great spoil. Anyone think about that? A rich bounty. A rich bounty. What you find. What you have. Because of victory. Taken from the Old Testament example of battle. The victory, the spoils from victory. What you gain from it? Any thoughts or questions or disagreement about that? It's okay. Okay, verse 19 and verse 54. We were talking about being a sojourner. Verses 19 and verse 54b. Talks about being a stranger, a foreigner in the earth. Don, would you read Hebrews 11, 9 through 13? Please.
Hebrews
11, 9 through 13.
Thank you.
They faithfully lived as an alien in the land of promise and as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life,
that she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even one of man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars in heaven in number, and innumerable in the sand which is in the seashore.
Okay.
All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth.
Okay. And Elizabeth, read 1 Peter 2:11 and 12.
Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evil doers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of his judgment.
Okay, so what do we learn about being a sojourner or a foreigner in the earth? And here in 119, he's talking about being a stranger in the earth. Or he's just on a journey. He's on a pilgrimage for a short time, looking for a better place, looking for something that's better. Verse 43, he says his hope is in God's word. Even though he's suffering, even though his faith wavered at a time, he realizes, you know, I'm just here as a sojourner. I'm just here as a pilgrim. And we learn from the New Testament, the Holy Spirit tells us that that should be like Abraham and the fathers of faith. They were just pilgrims. They were just sojourners looking for a better home. And that's where he put his hope. Any questions, any thoughts that you got from those two verses?
I guess I'll look at it from a little different perspective.
Yes.
Verse 19, I guess I focused on, do not hide your commandments from me. Wherever he's at, whatever his problem is,
yes,
he wants God's word. He knows that's the only thing that's going to get him through.
That's true, too. That's a great point. It's part of his, that will get him through his journey on earth. In Genesis 47, verse 9, the sojourning is also spoken of just 1 year of life on this earth. Jacob is talking to Pharaoh about that. And he's just telling him how long he's lived on this earth. My sojourning on this earth is just 130 years. So, while you're living on this earth, your hope is the word of God as you continue in your life. But we have this hope. What's the hope? Eternal life. The hope is God's with us. Whether it appears to the other outside world, if he is or not, but he's with us. Any other good thoughts? Thank you, Pat. Okay, verse 20. Verse 40. Sandra, would you read verses 20 and verse 40?
My soul breaks the longing for your judgment at all times. Behold, I long for your precepts. Unite me in your righteousness.
So, in these verses, verses 131 says, I wanted to read that one too. 131. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. We sang a song about as a deer pants for the water. And so, what's the picture here in these verses? What's the picture that the Holy Spirit's painting?
The longing.
Longing. My version reads crushed, consumed with longing, the desire. It's not just a passing thing. It's not just a light thing to him. He's crushed. He longs. Verse 81 says languishes. And that's to be consumed. I am consumed for your salvation, longing for your ordinances. Attitude towards the Word of God. He doesn't take it lightly. He doesn't pick it up when the notion suits him. It's just, he's panting with longing. He longs and desires salvation, 174 says. How important is it? Any thoughts, any notes that anybody might have written down?
King James says, "My soul panteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word."
Okay, so that's a result, isn't it? When you have that attitude, it leads, should lead to action. And that verse particular says, I open your word. If you long for salvation, if you long for doing what's right, you open the word. Any thoughts? Okay. Verses 22, 67, 99, 102, the following, those following. We're going to go down to verse 22 and 67 and 157. And I ask you a question. What circumstances are associated with his attitude? What's those circumstances again? Reproach, contempt, persecutions from enemies. And in verse 67 says, he left the right path. That he went astray a little bit. But then he got back on track. Now I keep God's word. So, we can suffer some of the things he suffered. We can even go down in faith. We can be faithless sometimes, or we can be discouraged sometimes. But we get back to God's word. And while we were discouraged, or while we were maybe giving in to some of the things that are around us, the thoughts and the influence, we're not in the same position as what he gets when he gets back to God's word. And that's why I put the next verse. 99 through 102. Sandra, you want to read verses 99 through 102?
Understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgment, for you yourselves have taught me.
Okay. And then, 167. 168. Susan?
768. My
keep your testimony, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Okay. I understand more. What?
Than all my teachers.
Insight than all my teachers. All those worldly influences that are around us. All those well-meaning but untaught experts out there with their professional expert advice. But he has more insight than these people. And all those rulers and all those people that were in his life and all those reproachers that was on his case, seeking his life, because I, what's the next word? I meditate upon. And I keep thy testimonies because I love them exceedingly and have restrained my feet from every evil way and do not turn aside from thy testimonies because why? All my ways are before you. So let's get the picture. Here's the world. Here's the world wisdom. Here's God's word and God's wisdom. Which one you want to choose? You want to be wise along with God? Even though it might cause you some trouble? Look what they did to the Son of God. Will not having better insight and wisdom serve us better? Get us through our journey. Give us to eternal life. That's what we want. Even though we may slip, even though we may go astray, the Word of God is what will get us back on track. We have difficulties come up in our lives. What's going to give us hope? What's going to give us comfort? What's going to tell us the right thing to do? God's Word. The only problem is a lot of Christians out there don't believe it's sufficient for that. They think you need all these expert advices. They think you need counseling from someplace else. They think you need the world's wisdom. It didn't work in his day. It's not going to work in our day. It didn't work in David's day when he listened to the people. And it doesn't work today in our lives. It didn't work for the people who are losing their faith in the book of Hebrews. Any thoughts or questions about that? Remember why he keeps them? There's that attitude right in the middle of this. He loves them. He doesn't meditate them because he thinks, well, it might have a little something good in it. He loves them because they're true. Because it's God's wisdom. He loves them. Therefore, he meditates. Therefore, he doesn't stray from them or turn aside. Okay. F, verses 23, 99, and 148. This is talking about the word meditation. one of those actions that he took above, because he loved God's word, was to meditate on God's word. And we've been talking about that throughout the study. In 22 and 67, no, excuse me, in 23, 99, and 148, and especially in 23 and 99, he says, meditation upon God's word, or devotion to, reflection with intent to understand. That's what meditation is. You want to understand something, you got to sort of get into it. You just don't casually read it once and say, well, I got that. With intent to understand, meditate on it, chew it on it a little bit, do some study, check your references, put it together, meditate. Why? Because it's God's wisdom. We want to know how not to turn away from it. That's what it's going to take. I failed. Had to get back on it. You know how you just, okay, I'm going to hurry up and get the lesson so that I might have all the answers when Steve gets up here and does class? Well, sometimes it's best to do a little bit deeper than that. Examine. Not because Steve might be wrong, but because it's for my good. Okay. Verse 148 says, he, and let's read that. Joanna, would you read verses 148?
My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on your word.
Okay. Somebody tell me what that means. What's that say to you? What's anticipate mean?
Wait, prepares.
What, please?
He waits and prepares.
He waits? He hopes for? He looks forward to? What else? Why? Okay, well, let's talk about attitude. He anticipates the time that he can do that. And then it talks about him getting up before at the watches, at the different times of night, to study and meditate on God's word. Do you think he sets a time where he can sit and do that, or do you think it's just haphazard? Do you think it's just in between other jobs, other responsibilities? Or do you think that he looks forward to the time that he set aside to sit down and meditate on God's word? Or am I mistaken? It's okay if you disagree. We're here to help each other.
Night watches. So this would be after a day of whatever else he's had to do. He still takes time. Not everybody does it in the night watches. That's what works.
That's right.
Him. Some people get up early. I guess that's still the night watch. I don't know.
Exactly.
It's something that he makes sure that it gets done.
Make sure it gets done if y'all didn't hear Pat. And he anticipates the time that he can do it. He looks toward that.
It reminds me of when I was a new Christian, and I was in Huntsville, and there was a Christian lady, Sister Perkin, and I don't think I'll ever forget. One advice she gave the young ladies was, while you're ironing, just meditate on God's word. While you're ironing, you know, so it can be while you're doing some long task, you could be meditating on His word.
Exactly. And it can be while you're doing anything, you know, but have God's word in your mind, go back, refresh it. My grandmother used to sing while she did the dishes. I mean, and it wasn't any secular song, because my grandmother didn't know very many secular songs. But I think she only went to one movie in her whole life, and that was The Sound of Music. And so, but she would sing gospel hymns. I'd hear her, you know, I was a kid. She'd be in there in the kitchen just a cooking and a washing dishes, and she was doing that. Of course, she had her time in her chair where she was reading the Bible twice a day, too. I remember that. So, the time, like Pat said, sometimes this is night, this is at night. Whatever you have to do during the day, children, people work, people get busy with things, you know, set aside a time and look forward to it. That'll keep you from saying, man, I'm really tired. Maybe tomorrow night I'll do double up. Been there, done that. And so, you know, let's try to be better at it. Okay, we'll finish G then with G. What is the key words that shows his attitude in these passages? Verses 24. This is really exciting. This is really telling. This is really, I'm not going to say damning, but it's really stepping on my toes sometimes. The key words in verse 24, 35, 70, 74, 92, 143. What was his attitude?
He walks in the path. He walks in the path. And he lies in the wall.
Exactly. But what's the word? Starts with a D in all those verses.
Delight.
And joy. Delight.
And
joy. Joy. Joy and delight. Pleasure, joy, rejoice in. Joy, 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 joy. What? I'm being persecuted. You think there's joy and comfort and revival? What, wonder if you're a skin that's completely shriveled up. You're on your last, you're down for the count. Sometimes you feel like there's no hope. Don't you know that if you have something in your hand that's going to give you comfort and revive you and give you life again and bring you back up? What are you going to say? Well, I guess I ought to thank God about it. Or delight, thanksgiving, praise, glorifying, go tell others about it. Delight in, joy in, no matter what the circumstance. He mentions the results because of all those things he's suffering. In these verses, he gives results of his delight in it. What did you find in 24? Why does he delight in it? What's the result of going to God's Word?
He gets counsel.
He gets counsel. I got a problem and I don't know what to do. Get some counsel. Purpose. Direction. Verse 35, direction for his life. Verse 70, this was a good one. Not develop a gross heart, one dull of hearing. You ever get a little dull of hearing? Man, I've heard that sermon before. Do we have to study authority again? In Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, man, the Lord tells Isaiah, you go tell these people. He commissions Isaiah here. You go tell these people of their condition. And the Lord Jesus in Matthew 13 quotes it. And it talks about these people who are dull of hearing. Closed mind. They don't want to know God's word. I don't want to study that again. I don't want to hear it again. Well, God had enough with that. He's going to have enough of us if we get that attitude. And it's easy because we know people who have gone that way. They stop listening. Or if they get here and it's a sermon they don't really not going to like, they just, it just goes right past them. Well, that can happen to me too. I'm not above that. I pray I never have a closed mind to God's word. But sometimes we sort of let creep in the devil and say, yeah, you know. Well, that's what he thinks. Well, go check it out if that's what you feel. Open God's word. See what God says about it. Verse 77, that I might live. He's shriveled up. He needs reviving. Reviving means, you know, not much alive. He needs to become alive spiritually. That I might live. Verse 92. Delighting in God's word is not to perish in affliction. We need to be prepared because we just might come up against the devil with affliction one day that we're going to really need some backbone. And we're going to need God's word to be the backbone. So, in verse 143 says, still delighting, finding joy in God's word. And then he says, trusting God amid his anguish. He trusts God. So you have delight in God's word. You can trust it no matter what. There's danger in neglect. Hebrews 2, Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10 warns that people can become unfaithful. And drift away. If you have delight, if you meditate, you find joy in, you love God's word. These are the things that we learn from the Holy Spirit that this man is telling us, even though he's suffering. Any thoughts? We're finishing up with that.